The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz.
Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show, where every episode of the show, we are focused on making superwomen. That's right. The show is all about superwoman wellness, and I am determined to empower all the millions of amazing women that I meet every day. Joining me today is Dr. Mercy Ortenzi. This is a local. I'm super excited about that. Dr. Ortenzi is a native of Georgia. She obtained her doctorate of physical therapy at Mercer University and a BS in health sciences from Georgia State University. She began her pelvic floor training at Woman First Rehab and has received continuing education with the Herman and Wallace Pelvic Floor Rehab Institute. She fell in love with the field of pelvic floor rehab after witnessing patients succeed after numerous unsuccessful interventions. Mercy is passionate about the field of pelvic floor rehabilitation and strives to incorporate the latest evidence into the treatments of her patients. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ortenzi.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is such an important topic, and I don't know if everybody out there listening today understands this topic because no one talks about this. It's like a big secret amongst women. We don't talk about our pelvic floor. We don't talk about some of the issues and problems that can arise from it. And we kind of take that area for granted when we're giving birth, having babies, going through traumatic deliveries, you know, moving our bodies in so many different ways. How did you become interested in the whole field of pelvic health as it relates back to physical therapy?
So I completely agree with you. It is such a taboo subject that no one likes to talk about, women and men. But I think the reason I got into it is because it was such a big thing growing up. My mother's an OBGYN in Georgia. And so in carpool, I heard about, you know, yeast infections because she's on the phone talking to her clients, giving them prescriptions and whatnot. And of course, I spent numerous nights in the hospital with her because she was a single mom. So if she got called in to do a delivery at 2 a.m., I was in the delivery room with her. And, you know, almost 30 years ago, there were no protocols for that. So I got to be in the room witnessing many, many deliveries, C-sections, even some surgeries they kind of let me sit in the corner for. So it was a huge upbringing that made me go into the pelvic health side of physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But also it was her explaining that there was really no prenatal postpartum care physically for women. She knew how to medically help them if they said,
right,
postpartum they were having, you know, increased bleeding or their stitches weren't healing correctly or any other medical side effects, but there was nothing, you know, how do I get back into exercise or why do I feel so unstable? Why is my posture terrible? Why do I still have pain? So I think that was really the reason that when I was choosing physical therapy, I said, you know, I'm gonna focus on the prenatal postpartum side. Because that's the side I think is lacking.
How old were you when you were going to the delivery room with your mom? What an amazing story in itself of the two of you. How old were you at the time?
So, I mean, this was from age like 5 all the way to like 11 when she felt comfortable with me starting to kind of stay on my own. And then we did have nannies in between. But in between nannies, I definitely had to go in with her. And I mean, it was exciting because her patients are in love with her and always have been.
Right.
So they were like, of course your daughter can come in. And I used to, you know, joke the placenta I used to call the brain. So I would say, you know, when are you delivering the brain?
Oh my gosh.
So these are memories
what
I have.
What a childhood. You're probably one of the very few who can say they've had a childhood like that. What an experience. So Dr. Ortenzi, as you've entered this field of pelvic health and physical therapy, what are some of the things that you're noticing the most frequently? What's sort of the disconnect or the gap for women between their pelvic floor health and their overall health? What are we missing?
So I think the biggest disconnect we have in general as a society with pelvic health is that we treat birth as, you know, of course, it's this awesome natural thing, but then we think because it's natural and it happens to everyone that things don't have to be done post to rehab from it. But if we think about every other even surgery or injury, whether it be knee surgery, hip injury, shoulder injury, whatever, you always go through a rehab process with a physical therapist. And with birth, as we know, many muscles are either stretched or torn, or they have to be cut, or if we have to have a C-section, now we're talking abdominal muscles and tissue have to be cut. And with that said, how come we're not going through a rehab process with that? And that's just in the postpartum world. With other pelvic health, we're talking someone goes to the doctor and says they have a complaint of pelvic pain or incontinence or fecal dysfunction or any other type of pelvic floor issues, they're typically told there's a bladder pill for this, or maybe it's something you're eating or drinking. And they're not thinking of it in a musculoskeletal sense, but muscles have a pattern of working. Just like if someone goes to the doctor and says they have knee pain and they say, oh, maybe you're running wrong or your muscles aren't used correctly with that. Why aren't we saying that for a pelvic floor issue? Like, oh, you're leaking. Maybe it's not just a pill that's going to fix that. Why can't we see if it's a muscular issue? And most often it is. I've had many people, oh, I've tried the pills. I've tried, you know, drinking cranberry juice or whatever they've been told, but it was a musculoskeletal issue.
Interesting. What, you know, so for kind of taking that analogy a step further, you know, like with our knee, we know how to rehab our knee, or if you have hip pain, you know, we know what to do there. What is the biggest pelvic floor muscular mistake? I don't know if that's the right word, mistake or misuse that we as women are doing to maybe compromise our pelvic floor. Is there something we're doing like day to day structurally that is responsible for that pelvic floor weakness, other than the obvious, right? Other than the obvious fact that we deliver and give birth. But are there other things that we're doing that weakens those muscles?
I would always 100% start with breathing, because we breathe every day all the time. And for the women that have never given birth that have pelvic floor dysfunction, I always start with the breath. I think the biggest mistake that we all do is we think that we have to do pelvic floor contractions or Kegels. The other term, whereas, I would say 60% of my clients, I'm not even teaching them how to contract. I'm just teaching them how to breathe properly with correct relaxation and contraction, or sometimes just relaxation. So when you breathe, when you inhale, naturally your pelvic floor is supposed to relax, like decrease, so into more of a down regulation. And then when you exhale, it's supposed to contract. But so many times as I'm evaluating someone, that breath pattern is completely opposite. So then when they cough, which is an exhale, their pelvic floor is going down rather than up. So then they're leaking. So sometimes it's retraining their breath, and then they're not having those symptoms anymore.
Oh my gosh. So for all those super women out there listening today, we don't even know how to breathe right. We're in trouble. Goodness gracious. Yeah. With this style of breathing, is it comparable to yoga breathing or the pranayama breathing that we learn through yoga? Is that a comparable way to breathe?
It is definitely similar in talking about the diaphragmatic breathing, where our bellies are in, you know, getting larger, our rib cages opening kind of like an umbrella, and decreasing the amount of chest breathing that we're doing. So it's very similar. But with the yoga, it's funny you brought that up, because I have a lot of clients that are yoga instructors. And I guess in yoga, you're taught so much to contract and hold the contraction of your core and your pelvic floor. But a lot of clients I see, because they do that so much, now they don't have that range of motion of the muscle. It's so contracted and so tight that they have pelvic pain, and it typically presents with some stress incontinence, pain with intercourse, pain with orgasm, in that sense. So I end up seeing them, and they're like, oh, well, I've always breathed this way. This is how I'm taught in yoga. And I'm like, we should be working on down regulating. It's good to contract, but at the same time, it's good to relax.
So just so I have it right, and for everybody else out there listening, so the breath work that we should be doing when we're thinking about our pelvic floor is inhaling, and as we inhale, that pelvic floor collapses or relaxes, and then as we exhale, it contracts back up. Do I have that right, or is it the other way around?
Nope, that's exactly right. And a good way to remember it is think about things that are exhales, a cough, a sneeze, a laugh, are all exhales. So we should be contracting during those things so that we don't lose our bladder or leak on ourselves.
Okay. So breath work is one. Is there anything else that you would just point out real quickly? Like, hey, I see women do this all the time. I wish they would change this one or two things to really protect the health of their pelvic floor.
I would say posture is the number two, the way that we stand. So a lot of women, we're taught to kind of tuck our pelvis so we don't show our bottom too much. Or when we are young, it's like, hey, don't push out your bottom, tuck it in or cross your legs. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, you know, make ourselves smaller by doing that. But when you tuck your pelvis, we call it, we're going into a posterior pelvic tilt. When you do that, you're actually putting the pelvic floor muscles at a disadvantage to work. So when we're tucked, they kind of tighten, and then you can't even feel that range of motion of the breath pattern. So I would say getting into a good posture and kind of a more of a neutral pelvis when you're sitting, standing, walking, exercising is better than tucking. So bar class is very popular right now, but the
right.
bar instructors that only have you tuck, it's actually not good because we're using our pelvic floor muscles wrong. So we should always try to get more into a neutral pelvis.
A neutral pelvis. Okay, great little tip. So breath work, a neutral pelvis. And what are some of the key muscles down there in that pelvic floor area? Again, not getting maybe too technical, but what are some of the muscles down there that we forget about or don't think about when it comes to the health? And then I would follow that up too by saying, what are some of the most common symptoms that you see, maybe early warning signs that somebody has pelvic floor dysfunction and they're dismissing it or not paying attention to it?
So I would say the most important muscles are called your true core. And we always think about our core as being our stomach muscles, but really our true core is made up of four muscle groups. Your pelvic floor, which has many, many muscles. Everyone thinks it's one muscle, but there's actually three layers of muscles equaling about 14 muscles. And then the second part of your true core is your transverse abdominis, which is a very deep core muscle. It kind of wraps around like a corset all the way to your back. And then our diaphragm, which is our breathing muscle. And then our low back muscle called your multifidus. It's a stability mm-hmm. muscle. Those four are the most important muscles that I assess and make sure are working properly with every single client. And then following up with your question about signs and symptoms, if mm-hmm. someone is reporting pelvic pain, urinary leakage, fecal leakage, a prolapse symptom would be vaginal heaviness or feeling like mm-hmm. your tampon's kind of falling out or some pressure. That would definitely be a symptom. I also, just low back pain, hip pain, it can all be symptoms that there's pelvic floor dysfunction. Just like I was referring to, if you have knee surgery, when you go to a PT, they're just not looking at your knee muscles above and below. They're looking at, are your hips stable? Are your ankles stable? Your posture? Same thing with the pelvic floor. I'm looking at why could you be having that hip pain and back pain that you've been working on forever? How can it be connected to the pelvic floor? Is there a missing piece that we're not seeing?
Interesting. Okay, well, let's talk both prevention and treatment. So, you know, now we understand, we get it, pelvic floor therapy is really important. You know, other than breathing and really paying attention to posture, like you said, not tucking that tailbone constantly or tucking the pelvis to get that posterior tilt, are there other things from an exercise standpoint that you would recommend? Hey, guys, you know, I know you love your yoga. I know you love, you know, your CrossFit, but at least once a week, do this. Is there something that you would recommend in that sense, or is there something even from a nutritional or other sense that you would recommend as being preventive in terms of protecting your pelvic floor?
So I think in terms of that, and definitely the prevention with the posture and the breathing already kind of discussed, but if your pelvic floor, let's say you're coming in and you're having the pelvic floor therapist assesses weakness, then there's more of exercises that go along with weakness. So we do give some core stability exercises, focusing on the transverse abdominis, not so much that six-pack muscle or the crunch muscle, your rectus abdominis. And then we're giving specific pelvic floor exercises with the correct type of contraction and relaxation and things like that, and then hip stability exercises. But on the other hand, if someone's coming in and they have a too tight or too strong or hypertonic pelvic floor, mm-hmm. then I'm not really giving any type of exercise program of contractions, because we need to first start on down regulation. So some of the treatment is very manual, hands-on work. So I'm working on soft tissue release of the internal vaginal muscles and myofascial release in the lower abdominal and pelvic region, because we need to elongate that muscle for it to be able to work again. So I would say there's kind of two sets of clients. There's the person who comes with the hypo, weak pelvic floor hypotonic, and then there's the hypertonic or very tight pelvic floor. So two different treatments for those individuals.
Interesting. And is this something women should be looking at every age and at every stage of their life? If you had to give somebody out there listening today, they don't want to talk about their pelvic floor to their girlfriend or to their doctor, but they want to learn more and they want to explore more on maybe what they should do. You know, is it helpful to preemptively and proactively make an appointment with a pelvic floor physical therapist and just get an assessment and see where you are? I wish, quite honestly, guys, for everybody out there listening today, I really, really wish I had done this prior to my deliveries. I had a very tough first delivery, and it honestly took the second delivery to correct the mistakes of the first one. But thankfully, I didn't have any long-lasting symptoms. But if I had done some of this work, I think, beforehand, I think I would have come out much better on the other end. So I'm just wondering, you know, just like we talk about, hey, get your hormones checked, understand your nutrient deficiencies, you know, it's really important to assess inflammation for women. Should they be looking in some sort of fashion routinely at their pelvic floor?
I 100% believe that should be the case. In other countries, it is. So I always bring up Australia, France, Canada, because they have some of the most preventative pelvic health protocols out there. Before you have a child, when you're thinking about getting pregnant, you go in for an evaluation, and they say, you know, your core is unstable. We should be doing this, or your pelvic floor is this way. Start doing this, it'll help. Let's go over these breathing techniques for labor and delivery, et cetera, like that. And then post, it's just part of their health system that at 6 weeks postpartum, you start pelvic health. And of course it's paid for, so that's a whole nother discussion. But, that makes them kind of do it because it's protocol. Your OB or your midwife says, you know, okay, you're cleared for pelvic health physical therapy. And then it's a discussion at lunch. Hey, how did your PT go? Instead of, I'm scared to tell my practitioner that I'm still having pain and it's been 12 weeks. Or, gosh, I can't hold my bowels anymore, but I really don't want to talk about that with my girlfriend over coffee. If it was just more told by the practitioner, I don't think it would be so scary. So if you know, we're at a normal yearly PAP exam and you mentioned some of these symptoms, if it just rolled off the tongue of the practitioner, hey, maybe you should get your evaluation by your pelvic health therapist or find one in your area, then they wouldn't be so scared to discuss the topics, and then they could prevent things long term. So I definitely think all ages, there are pelvic health physical therapists here in Atlanta that work with children. I do not. And then there go all the way up. There's a great pelvic health therapist that works with postmenopausal women only. So everyone kind of has their niche.
So for everybody listening today, Dr. Ortenzi, you know, they're convinced they want to find a pelvic floor therapist, but they're not here in Atlanta or they're elsewhere. Is there a good resource to find, you know, a pelvic floor therapist like yourself that would do an assessment, you know, for the woman who's thinking about getting pregnant, for the woman who's delivered, for the woman who's having hormone depletion or having pelvic pain or urinary incontinence or even fecal incontinence, you know, which is stooling on yourself without control? Is there a resource for them to go to where they could find somebody like this? Because again, I think it's hard to find. I think it's hard to say, like, oh, I know this pelvic floor therapist over here, just like you would find an OB or somebody else.
Yes, that's definitely. The American Physical Therapy Association has a wonderful website and search tool. It's APTA.org. And when you go onto there are many sections of physical therapy. So you'll see the orthopedic section or the geriatric section, and then there's a listed pelvic section, sometimes referred to as women's health, but it's getting away from that because now we're finding that men also have pelvic floor dysfunction. So it's now labeled pelvic health. And when you go to that search tool, you can type in your zip code and it'll pull up pelvic floor physical therapist in your area. I definitely think right now, we're kind of all in larger cities. So, you know, I have patients who unfortunately have to drive from Noonan or Peachtree City or Woodstock, all these areas, because we're kind of around, more providers that have more of the holistic approach to referring their clients to this type of care, rather than in the smaller towns. They don't have the resources, so providers aren't really referring to us.
Gotcha. Goodness gracious, such great information. And before I leave you, I know we focus on women's health and women's wellness, but we've got a lot of amazing men in our lives. What does pelvic floor dysfunction look like in men? What type of symptoms do they have? What do they complain about?
So when it comes to men, some things to kind of think about and discuss with friends, partners, et cetera, are a sexual dysfunction. That's a huge one for men. I think with any type of erectile dysfunction, we immediately go to a pill. But actually, erectile dysfunction can be a pelvic floor issue with muscles that are too tight or have myofascial restrictions. Dribbling, any type of incontinence, which men have as well. They just don't always talk about it. That can be treated a lot of times with pelvic health. And then post-surgical, I think this is the number one. So prostatectomies, I have a lot of patients who have myofascial restrictions post-surgical, just like with any surgery you have restrictions. So then they have this chronic pain. And even post-discectomies, they have a lot of pain and myofascial restrictions post that can easily be treated with just some simple manual techniques that then we can teach them to be working on, because they don't always feel comfortable going to someone to get these things looked at.
Interesting. Oh my gosh, such great information. Dr. Ortenzi, thank you for taking some time out today to talk to us about this particular issue, which I know is very hidden and very hush-hush. Pelvic floor therapy, the importance of your pelvic health, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 60, it doesn't matter. This is still an area of the body that needs attention. And it shows up in our men as well. So thank you so much for the helpful advice and the tips. And if you want to learn more about Dr. Ortenzi, then what's the best way to connect with you?
I would say my clinic's website is functionizehealth.com, and listed under there, under my bio, my email is there. I check my email all the time and love responding when people have questions regarding pelvic health, because it's such a taboo subject, and so I like to make people feel comfortable that they can ask me anything. And then on Instagram, I have a pelvic professional account called The Pelvis Pro. And because I'm on my postpartum journey, I'm 4 weeks postpartum today.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations. You didn't tell us that. That's amazing.
Thank you. So I'm posting daily about what I'm doing postpartum, to kind of rehab myself, so I can give a better response to my clients now. Even though I've been treating this for years, I'm finally going through it myself. So you can follow me on Instagram at The Pelvis Pro.
Well, I know I'm going to join. I'm curious to see what you're doing. And for all of you out there, I hope you do as well. And for everybody out there today, thank you for joining this episode of Superwoman Wellness. Remember, you are a superwoman. Find your power, build your strengths, and go out there and change our world. Thank you so much.